Here we go. All right. How many of you have moved states before? How many of you moved from one state to another state? Yes, awesome. How many of you have moved from one country to another country? Has anyone here moved from one country to another country? Oh, we do have a few. Awesome. What country did you move from? Portugal. Awesome. Near Spain. Oh, that works. What's that? From Canada. Awesome. Wow. That's awesome. Very cool. Hey, so we're talking a little bit about today, citizenship. We're talking about citizenship. Now, that's a big word. That's a big concept. We're going to get there in just a minute. But how many of you guys, and a lot of you have moved from one state to another, and even probably more of you have moved within the own state. How many of you guys, that was kind of an awkward thing to move from one place to another place and kind of learn your way again? Yeah, a little bit awkward. How many of you guys have moved from one school to another school? Yeah, everyone should be raising their hand. Yes, everyone in here is middle school, right? Yes, okay, awesome, good. Yeah, everyone has at least changed schools once, right? And how many for you guys, that was an awkward thing? Yes, changing schools, a little bit crazy, a little awkward. Yeah, for me, guys, my most awkward time in life, I'll be completely transparent with you right now, is sixth grade, without a doubt. Sixth grade was the most awkward transition of my life ever, and let me tell you why. In sixth grade, I went from a really small elementary school, which was called Cedar Hill Elementary, and I went to Lewis and Clark Middle School. And let me tell you about Lewis and Clark Middle School. It was like the divergent of like six or seven different elementary schools, all moved into this one middle school, not including all the private and like other kids, homeschool, whatever, who decided to finally go to middle school, all at one time. And so for me, the middle school I went to was huge compared to my elementary school. It was huge. My elementary school, I knew everyone. And in fact, in fifth grade, I had this group of friends of fifth grade guys who we got along with really well. Okay, we were just really good friends. We hung out with each other, rode bikes, whatever. I don't know. We did in fifth grade, but we were really good friends. And not that they were like popularity groups, but like, I don't know, they were just a really good group of guys. And in sixth grade, we started something that probably a lot of your middle schools have as well, is everything was kind of through the scope of teams. So like, there were three teams at my sixth grade group, and I was in just one of those teams. And my my English, my social studies, my math, and my science teachers just taught one team. Okay, and we cycled through, and so there were different groups of students who were in my own grade that I never saw. And here's the thing, when I went to sixth grade, I was the only kid out of my whole friend group who was in my team. So I knew like nobody who I was around or had classes with. I knew nobody. And in fact, all my friends, they were like in the teams with each other. So they were still like hanging out with each other and like having fun together. And I'd like see them in the hallway, like walking in their little area, and they'd be like laughing and having fun. And I'd just be like, hey guys, I'm over here all by myself, right? And it was really, really hard for me. It was a really tough year. It was a really awkward year. And finally, seventh grade, I started getting it together. But sixth grade was really rough. In fact, I wrote down three words that kind of described like the general taste of my sixth grade year. I felt alone. I felt lost because it was a huge school. I didn't know where my classes were. Like, I was lost. And I felt oftentimes abandoned. And I felt abandoned because my friends, they were still hanging out with each other, but like, I wasn't part of that. And even though I would even try to be, I'd go try to talk to them for like a minute between passing periods or whatever, like even then I wasn't around enough to remain a friend. And so I just felt abandoned from them. It was a really, really crazy and awkward year for me. And oftentimes for us, change can equal this feeling of we don't belong. If that's moving houses or states, or if that's moving schools, or just different things in our lives, that can make us feel like we just don't belong. And I know that you guys might feel this exact same thing. Now, here's the good news. I don't want you to feel like uber bad for me and leave here thinking that my entire sixth grade year was just completely waste of time. Here's the thing. When I started losing my place at school, I started to pick up and find my place at church. So when I lost my place and my citizenship at school, I started to find my identity and my citizenship at church, and I started to plug in a lot more at church, and that's kind of when my life started to turn just a little bit this other way, and God kind of started to design a different path for me than I was on before, okay? And so it's not like it was all a waste, things were okay. But the truth was, when I lost that sense of belonging, I lost, where's my citizenship? Where is my citizenship? And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning, is the question of, where do I belong? Where's my citizenship at? Who do I belong to, and who belongs to me? And so that's what we're going to talk about. But first, we're going to talk about it through the lens of Scripture, and then we're going to apply it to our own lives, which is kind of what this map has to do up here. And so we're going to look into that a lot more this morning, okay? But first, to look at it in Scripture, you guys need Bibles. Some of you guys have Bibles at your areas. Some of you don't. If you don't have Bibles, we have a ton of Bibles up here in the Bible carts. Feel free to grab some for your groups. And then once you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to the book Philippians. Everyone say Philippians out loud for me.
Philippians.
Great. That is a word that you should just awkwardly use in sentences, like even where it doesn't fit. Like, I think that'd be really funny if you did that this week. I think that would be great. Philippians chapter 3, verse 18. Awesome. Philippians chapter 3, verse 18. Yes, once you get there, throw your Bible up in the air or your app or whatever. I don't mean like throw, like release from hands. Just like kind of, yeah, perfect. That lets me know you're there. Sweet. Philippians chapter 3, verse 18. Give you a little bit of background about Philippians. Philippians is a book or a letter. Originally, it was a letter that became a book of the Bible. It was a letter written by this guy named Paul. And that's not really disputed. That's not really argued. Everyone pretty much agrees that Paul wrote it. Some of them are kind of argued. Not this one. Pretty much everyone agrees that Paul wrote this. And let me tell you a little bit about Paul. Paul was this guy who lived just towards like the tail end of Jesus' life. So like Jesus died, but like Paul would have been really young when that happened. Paul grew up in the Jewish culture. And in the Jewish culture, just after Jesus, there was a lot of Jesus hating going on. Okay, there was a lot of picking on Christians, or what they called at the time people of the way. There was a lot of that going on. And so Paul really picked on Christians, okay? And he persecuted them. Until one day, when Paul was walking to a city to go persecute some Christians, God showed up. In fact, Jesus showed up and said, "Paul, why are you persecuting my people?" And blinded Paul. And at that moment, Paul actually was converted. He went from not believing and not wanting to follow Jesus to being like one of the most diehard followers of Jesus in the early church. In fact, he went from being like a Christian killer to like lead Christian of like everything, like in a very quick period of time, okay? And he wrote a lot of the books that we have here. He's a good writer. He is a little lengthy in his sentences, but he's a good writer. That's my criticism for Paul. If I could like tell him, I'd be like, "Man, you do a lot of run-on sentences." But otherwise, he's a really great thing. And so what we're going to do is we're going to read this. This is actually a church that he planted, and he's writing to the church that he created, okay? He planted this church and he's writing to them with regards to this specific topic about citizenship. And that's really what this whole book has to do with. But today we're going to look at that in a bigger scope. What is he talking about, okay? So starting at verse 18, I'm going to start reading for us, okay? And I'm going to go all the way to 20. It says this, "For as I have often told you before, now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things." Now, guys, we all know people like this, right? We all know people like this. And this is what I love how Paul writes. He writes so emotionally, right? He's so emotionally attached to this. He knows that there's people in this time that he's writing about, and now is true as well, who just live to please themselves. They don't care about anything but themselves. They don't care about anything but earthly things. That's what he's really saying here, is they don't care about anything but themselves. And it moves him to tears to think about that. That's a really heartbreaking thing. When you think of people that all they're living for is themselves, they have no belief of anything greater than just themselves. They just want to live on this earth and please themselves. That's emotional, right? And so he's saying, "I hate to admit this, guys, but it's true. And their path is destruction. Okay? And so then he goes on, because he's talking to a church, right? He's saying, everyone around you is just caring about earthly things, but you. But our, in verse 20 it says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, we're different. We're different than just those who look to please themselves. Not only do we live on this earth, yes, we do live on this earth, right? Like, it's hard to not admit that that's truth, right? Like, unless you think you're a Martian or something. Yes, you live on earth, you were put here, and you were put here with purpose. But Paul is saying, you more so are a citizen of heaven. That's a bigger deal, okay? Now, what I want you guys to do is, you guys were talking about places that you would want to live, and I love maps. I could just stare at maps for hours. So what I want you guys to do is up here with a black X, I've marked Phoenix, Arizona, which is where we all live currently. Our citizenship is currently in Phoenix, Arizona of the United States of America. We're all American citizens. So that's kind of home plate. If you said anything other than Phoenix, Arizona, if you said Phoenix, Arizona, it doesn't count for you, come up, and I want you to put a small X with one of these dry erase markers on the place that you would want to have lived, if someplace else. And then put the dry erase marker back here so people can do the same, okay? I'm going to put this right here. You guys come up and mark places that you would have wanted to live, or you still want to live. You guys have a lot of life before you. You guys still have a lot of life. You guys have all the potential in the world to move and to live in these places. Yeah, if it's already marked, you can like kind of mark over, that's fine, but you don't have to. If you just want to leave it, it's already taken care of. I was impressed last service of how many people wanted to still live in America. Like, if you could live any place, like, they still choose to live in the United States. Nothing against the United States. I'm just saying, it's like, if you could live any place, why not, like, David, Europe or something, you know? Like,
I changed to Paris.
You changed to Paris, okay. Are you going to be an artiste? It's awesome. Yeah, mark the places that you would want to live. Awesome. Middle of the Atlantic. Perfect. Is there one that works? I just want to swim as a career. Okay. Yeah. Atlantis. I want to live in Atlantis. It's great.
I want to live in Atlantis.
Someone last service marked Alaska, and I tried reminding them that it's dark, like 22 hours out of some of the days. She's like, no, that's awesome. No. No. Yeah. Not awesome, guys. No. It's cold. It's like eternally cold forever. Antarctica?
Celeste.
She didn't hear you.
Very funny, Tyler.
Awesome. Great, great. So some of them are continuing to mark up there. Who in here marked Russia? Who in here marked Russia? Didn't someone in here mark Russia? Is there someone in here? No? Who in here wants to live in Europe? Somewhere in Europe? Yep. Great. Awesome. Eastern or Western? Eastern or Western? Eastern, left-hand, Eastern, right-hand, West. Okay. Great. Anyone want to live in Asia? Any place? Any place in like Asian culture? Asian cultures? Great. Asian cultures? I just saw, ooh, where's that? Shanghai? Hong Kong? Great, great. Awesome, very cool. I love this kind of stuff. I love like looking at maps like that and seeing where you guys want to live. That's going to help me estimate, you know, in 30 years down the road where population increases are going to come and where population decreases are going to come. So congratulations. You just helped me in my, you know, project to see geographical movements within the next 30 years. So way to go, guys. Great. Awesome. I love this because what I want to use this as an example, and I know some of you guys want to remain within the United States, but for a minute, I want you to imagine with me. I want you to imagine that we all grew up, not just like moved to, but grew up in Phoenix, Arizona. And so all of our cultural references, everything we know is of Phoenix, Arizona. And in fact, our citizenship would then be in the United States, right? We'd be American citizens in that case. But specifically looking at Phoenix. And then all of a sudden, you choose to go, not to visit, but to live in, let's say, Hong Kong. I saw someone come up towards the very end and say Hong Kong, okay? And Hong Kong being completely different than Phoenix, Arizona, yet you choose to live there. Not like for a month or a year, but like, no, like live there. And like so much live there, like you don't have a choice. You are there. You have to live there. And so you don't just go on a travel visa. You go and you become a
citizen.
That's right. When you go and you move someplace long term, you don't just stay on visas. You become a citizen. There's things that you have to do to become a citizen. But generally, you get a citizenship there, but yet you still have your citizenship in Phoenix, Arizona. Okay, an American citizenship. At that point, you have two. You have dual citizenship. Okay? Means that you belong to two different places. Now, here's what I want us to think about, and I think this is kind of what Paul is saying. He's saying, how do you live here but remain influenced and influence this place like you're from there? How do you live here but influence this place like you're from there? Now, the obvious thing, guys, is that we're citizens of Earth. Of course we are. We live here. We're stuck here. And sometimes we get really upset that we're stuck here. Right? We get depressed, we get mad, and we say, I hate this life, and we get really frustrated. But here's the light at the end of the tunnel. God put you here for a reason, okay? You're living in China for a reason right now, okay? I'm not saying China's Earth, but I'm just, you know what I'm saying. Okay, you're living here for a reason, and the reason is to live like you're citizens of there, okay? To influence this place like you're citizens of there. And in fact, Paul names that there as heaven. We're citizens of both heaven and earth. So we need to live on earth as if we're citizens of heaven. And here's the thing. Belief in Christ, believing in Jesus Christ, like that's not something you just like lackadaisically do. Okay, you don't just like, oh yeah, Jesus, cool. Like if you really believe and follow Christ, that will dramatically and radically change the way you live here. It will really dramatically change the way you live here. There's no ifs and buts about that, right? Like, if you really believe and follow Christ, it changes the way you live here. And it changes it this way, and this is what Paul's getting at. You're not going to be like all those other people who just care about earthly things. You're going to be dramatically different. You're going to be visibly different because you care about earth. Yes, you live here. Yes, you care about the people here. Yes, but you also live with the purposes of there. You have dual citizenship at that moment. As you guys jump into groups, you guys have quite a bit of time, about 15 minutes. Feel free to ask any of the questions that are there, but I want you to really think about this one question as you jump into those groups. I want you to think of one area of your life where you need more of there to come here. I want you to think of one area of your life where you need more of there to come here. Okay, go ahead and jump into groups, and then in about 15 minutes, I got a short game for us to come up with. So, ready? Go.